Welcome, Big Show Buddy, in the studio. Out of Gastonia, North Carolina, happens to be the youngest member of Congress, Patrick McHenry. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, John Boy.
How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in again.
Hey, anytime. My door's always open to you.
I thought after the last time I got Rayford so mad that I wasn't going to be invited back, but maybe that's the reason why I was invited back.
There you go. You getting it?
Making Rayford really mad is not that difficult an accomplishment. So, yeah.
So you say you've y'all been off about a month vacation, taking off from the hill there.
Oh, is it called vacation? Heck, running around. I've been living out of my car, it feels like, for the last 4 weeks.
Is that right? Well, I guess you got to keep in touch with your constituents.
Oh, yeah. I got to travel around the district, and I got a pretty big district. It covers, from end to end, it's probably about 3.5 hours driving.
No kidding, man.
So it's basically from suburbs of Charlotte to the west. In western North Carolina, so I got right. the mountains and stuff like that. So it's good to be at home.
So I get up on a hill. Is you is or is you ain't my constituents. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good. I know y'all getting back up there. You say you're going to be diving back in. Y'all got a bunch of stuff happening when you check back in, don't you?
Oh, that's right. And back to that movie, Old Brother, Where Art Thou? Because he said, I need some of that reform.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about in Washington. A lot of scandals going on up in Washington. It's been a tough year to be up there. But learning year for me because it's my first time in Congress, first year in Congress. So had a lot of crazy things happen this year.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about, since you are the youngest member of Congress, and you look very young as well. Mm-hmm. Are they starting to realize that now that you belong there and they don't check your ID wherever you go?
Still get occasional noogies on the head.
Yeah. Don't noogie me.
Those Kennedys can be so
damn boy.
But I'll tell you, one of the craziest things happened to me this year. I don't know. Y'all know Tom Osborne, legendary college football coach in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Well, he's a member of Congress from Nebraska. And we got together a charity football team to raise some money for the Capitol Police.
Uh-huh.
And a member of Congress from out in Arizona had a good idea. This guy named Rick Renzi, who played college football. He said, we're going to do some charity football here, and what we're going to do is have members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, against the Capitol Police.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll tell you, the average age in Congress is 59 years old.
Uh-huh.
The average age on the police squad for Capitol Hill is about 24.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
And the only thing where we outpace them is in body fat. And so we got out there. We got this team together. And, for some reason, I was on this team. You know, I'm about 5 foot nothing and, about 105. You know, I'm just a little guy. And and they got me on the team. And, one of the fellows on the team said, Coach Osborne, legendary football coach. I want to tell my constituents that I played football for the legendary Tom Osborne. And he looked at him and said, I was afraid of that. Trying to ruin his reputation. But we got out there. And I said, look, I just want to play a down or two. That's it. These guys are going to kill us.
Uh-huh.
And actually, almost all their team played college football. Mm-hmm. On our team, we had 3 guys out of the whole thing.
A little older.
So, afterwards, Tom Osborne said, look, I'll tell you, in this game, this is a first for me in many, many different ways. He said, it's the first time I had a player who nearly had his ear ripped off, which was a fellow from up in Pennsylvania, member of Congress from up in Pennsylvania. It's the first time I had the best player on my team pull both hamstrings before the game started. And it's the first time that I had the smallest guy on my team be nose tackle with 3 minutes to go with the game on the line. And so he wrote me a little note and he said, you're pound for pound the best nose tackle I've ever coached.
Pound for pound, oh man, I'll keep at.
I think that just says I don't have many pounds.
I think so. That's good stuff, man. Well, Patrick, I want to ask you about stuff in the news now with President Bush about the domestic spying.
Oh, yes.
The thing. What's your stand on that? What do you feel?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, if you have a terrorist who's communicating with a known terrorist overseas,
uh-huh.
trying to get, direction from them on how to strike us,
right.
I think we should be able to listen in on their phone calls.
Makes sense.
It's not wiretapping. I mean, wiretapping is listening to – you know, John Boy called Billy.
Well, see, and that's what they makes it feel like. You're not going to be safe, like in your home. They're going to be listening to your phone
right.
calls. But
oh,
well,
give
they,
me a
they
break.
Try to make you think that that's where it will lead to. Mm. Is that, you know,
please.
And I love that you got to respect the president for standing up and saying, yeah, I did it. I did it, and I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Well, look, if it was illegal and the president was scared of it about telling anybody about it, why did he bring in both Republicans and Democrat leaders of Congress and say, this is what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, is that what, you know, is that what someone who's breaking the law does?
Right.
Nobody objected to it until the Patriot Act was coming up for reauthorization, mm-hmm. and you had a liberal faction who didn't want the Patriot Act coming back up. And I'll tell you, I'm scared of it as anyone about government stepping into our lives any more than they already have. I'm very fearful about them taking away our rights.
Right.
But I'll tell you, when you're talking about spying on terrorists and getting yeah. information on terrorists,
right.
I'm sorry, but I don't have this hug a thug mentality where all of a sudden we should have compassion for these people who want to kill us. I don't
right.
think that's reasonable. And if you're communicating overseas with a known terrorist and you know, you're a suspect here in the United States, a known terrorist suspect, then I think it's pretty valid. Now, I'll tell you, it's mm-hmm. probably not more, you know, than a few dozen people that they're monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that do to our enemies when we say, here's our tactic, we want to let you know? That's really
yeah.
stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I think the president's doing the right thing. Now, what would these folks that are complaining about this say had there been another attack? They would say, oh, the president should have done this.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, it's yeah. just all politics, and it's a shame.
It's all political theater nowadays. They're interested in getting themselves on TV or written about in the newspaper that, you know, here's my point of view, and, you know, here's what I'm doing about it.
Absolutely, and that's what it's all about. It's just about media time. I mean, if you look at the Samuel Alito hearings, the Supreme Court hearings, Ted Kennedy, I mean, I guess he got off the sauce one day to finish a sentence.
Attaboy. High five.
And
very bitter about the noogie thing.
Hey, man, you know, these are the same people that are all up in there about how we're treating terrorists that we have in captivity, and they treated him just as bad. I mean, talking about a family, had his wife crying. This is somebody who's up for I mean, he's a good man.
Absolutely. And the last resort that Ted Kennedy and a bunch of liberals up there have is if you're a qualified candidate for the Supreme Court, if you're qualified and they can't get you on anything that you've talked about, the last thing they get to is saying you're a hateful person.
Mm.
I mean, and attacking you personally.
Right.
I mean, that is just – that's lame, and it's really a sorry tactic. But that's what it's come to in Washington. If you can't beat your opponent, then you make up some accusation
right.
about him.
Let me ask you this. You're the youngest guy in there.
Yes.
Yeah, so you went in with a lot of preconceived notions that have probably proven to not be true.
That's right.
All right. And so now you're sitting in the position where a lot of these guys have been sitting for a long time. Do you think it's now time that we enact some term limitations to members of Congress?
I'd support that.
Yeah.
I'd support that because, we need to – I think the better way to approach this is reform the campaign finance system. You know, right now they have all these limitations on what you can and can't do. Let's make it a free market system. So if somebody comes in with a good idea, they can step forward and run rather than this convoluted system where you have to play all these games to get a nomination and then to go to the general election.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we have to inject some competition in this, and that means, you know, making sure that the districts are drawn fairly so you can have some real debate and have good people run for office.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I mean...
And have them run for office, serve a little while, and then go back to what they were doing before. That was the original idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, you know, what happens is the good folks that say we want term limits, they say, well, I'm going to self-impose term limits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they serve three terms and go home.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, those are the people that you actually want to stay
yeah.
because they're committed to getting right. reform and committed to getting change.
Uh-huh.
Instead, they say, well, I'll change. I'll just go home. Now, that's sort of idiotic.
Right.
I mean, you should stay until you change the system and it for the better. And that's cutting the budget and getting real reform so that you can have real competition.
Now, what do you say as far as two or three terms and then out again about the people that say that will put the power in the hands of the people who are in Washington all the time, the unelected, the staff, and the congressional people?
There's a point to that. There's a point to that. That's why, you know, you should have something reasonable. You know, I think after I mean, a decade is maybe something reasonable for the House. 12 years in the House, 2 terms in the Senate. I think you'd see a shift. The real thing that drives Washington is the Senate. The Senate has an effect because they just stop everything. You know, if they just feel funny, one senator can lock down the whole process. If they get upset, if they get their feelings hurt, it's amazing how many. How many grown men and women get their feelings hurt and get mad.
And didn't even almost get their ear ripped off.
That's right.
And by the way, if you've ever ignored the barking dog during your interview.
That's our people right there. Yeah, Patrick McHenry, our people in more ways than one, Patrick. Well, man, I know you're up there doing a good job. You're taking the fight, man. You just keep up the good work.
Well,
you
appreciate
our support.
Just tell
here,
those people, look. We're sitting out here. We send you guys up there. We want you to do the people's business. It's not all about y'all. And I don't mean that to you personally. I mean, it's like everybody just, you know, wants to make it all. Everything in life is about politics. Everything in life is not about politics. And politics is supposed to empower people to live their lives and to do the things that the Americans are supposed to do.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I mean, 90% of my job is stopping bad things from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really sad state of affairs. But I'm trying to relieve the burden of government intervening in every element of our lives. And Randy and I were talking about tax reform.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the tax code. That dictates what you can do as a business, if you want to go hire people, if you want to, you know.
People make decisions based not on what's good for their business, but what's going to save them on taxes.
That's right.
Absolutely. And so if we had a simple tax code, whether it's a flat tax or a national sales tax, something simple so people can make decisions based on what's best, I think we'd have a much better America.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, that's the problem with politicians today. Politicians think that they suddenly are important because they were elected something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
all they ever do is sit around and talk to other politicians.
Absolutely.
It's that whole inside the beltway thing.
I was talking to some folks at a volunteer fire department last night, North Catawba Volunteer Fire Department. They told me, tell John Boy and Bill. I said, duh. But those good folks. And they said, look, you know, just do what's right.
Right.
And tell us what you're doing and we'll reelect you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if people had the guts to step up and say, I did this because I thought it was the right thing to do, and communicate with people rather than saying, what do you think? I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to, I'll vote the way you think. No, I think we should have people that have conviction enough to step up and say what they're doing. And when they're wrong, own up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But in politics, suddenly you can't own up to being wrong because you'll get hit in the media in every which way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, you know, the politicians, I had a constituent tell me, said, well, now that you're above us, I said, what do you mean I'm above you? I shop at the same grocery store you do. I got to mow my lawn, and my neighbors get mad about that because I don't mow enough. But, you know, I got to do the same things you do. And all the way up to the president, when you sit down and talk to the president, you realize he's just a man.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a person who's trying to do the best they can. And all of a sudden, you have politicians that think they're somehow more important than everyone else, and their opinion is the way of the world.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
No.
You got to be
accountable. Because y'all work for us.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
It's a servant leadership is what
You're
it should
be. You're
supposed
to be representing our interests, not your own interests.
And that's what I always say when Sue's here and Patrick says, you know, get in touch with the people who are representing you. Let them know how you feel.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Phone calls, emails, letters. Mm-hmm. We respond to those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's what's so important is being responsive and being accountable. Coming home, and, you know, sometimes people want to tell you off. Well, that's good. That's part of the process. That's part of the system. And, you know, I just want to be home and responsive, and I appreciate y'all letting me be on the program. And
absolutely, Patrick. Anytime, keep us updated on what's happening there. Give us a call from the Hill every once in a while.
Well, thank you.
And if you need some help with that lawn, I know this guy from Mexico. If you don't mind paying him in cash.
Yeah, we'll talk about the immigration problem later.
Oh, yeah, that's a big issue. It's a whole nother ball of wax.
That's it. Well, thank you very much, Patrick. Keep up a good fight, buddy.
Well, thank y'all.
All right,
appreciate
man.
It.
Come on, man. Let's get out of here.